Today I want to share with you what I've titled, Put the Giving in Thanksgiving. Put the Giving in Thanksgiving. We have seats here. There's a seat here. Yeah? You sure? All right? You okay? Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, put the giving in Thanksgiving. No, look at them carefully. Say, my neighbor, this is not a fundraising service. So relax. But however, the title of the message is, so let me tap them. Put the giving in Thanksgiving. Praise God. Hey, come on. Don't do Thanksgiving without giving. It will not be complete. It's not what the Bible teaches. We can't be celebrating Christmas and not talk about giving. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 14. Philippians 4 verse 14. Quickly turn there. Nevertheless, you have done well. Ask your neighbor, have you done well? You have done well. Why? In that you shared in my distress. Apostle Paul was writing. He wrote half of the New Testament. Maybe more than half. He said, now, you Gateway Chapel, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, in the beginning of the good news, the news that liberated so many people, saved them, gave them testimonies. Say, in the beginning. He said, when I departed from Macedonia, say, no church shared. This is not the kind of conversation you should be having in church. This is not the conversation we should be having in church. This is not the conversation he should be having in church. Are you listening? He said, no church shared with me. Are you sharing with someone? Could this be you, Apostle Paul, is writing about? That you don't share with nobody. You just dance and clap and get excited. You just take. You don't share with nobody. You don't share with nobody. Are you listening? He says, share with me concerning giving and receiving. He said, but you only. Only you, Gateway Chapel members, I pray. Only you, Philippians. I went back and forth. I traveled extensively. I said, but you didn't share with me. None. And so giving, it should be the lifestyle of the believer. Say giving. Your voice has gone down a little bit. Your voice has gone down. You know, I'm your pastor. I have to tell you the truth. It's not a conference. We are not raising money. We have projects going on, but we are not raising money. So by now. And so for our family members who have just joined the church, in this church, this pastor has never raised, at least there's you're the oldest man in this church now, correct? No, not age now. By chronology. Yeah, but he's not here. I say now. Today. Ayo. Olusoya. Have we ever raised public funds for any project in this church in 14 years? Shout so they can hear you at the back.
No.
Have I ever taken special offering?
No.
For anything? Have I ever taken special offering during baby dedication? No. Have I ever taken two offerings in this church in 14 years? No. So now let me talk to you about giving. Because if I've never taken a penny from you in 14 years, then I qualify to teach you something about giving. Your spirituality can never be complete if you're not a giver. And I can tell you as a practicing giver. I'm a practicing giver. I'm a professional giver. I climbed the ladder of my profession because of my desire to give. Do you understand? Your spirituality can never be complete if you are not a giver. Your tithe, your offering, giving to the poor, giving to the needy. You will measure your spirituality by how much comes out of you and not how much you consume. If you are not a giver, there's a dimension of prosperity that you can never enter into. You can argue it. You can try and turn it into a theological argument. A stingy person is a stingy person. Color it give it whatever color it is. A stingy person is a stingy person. You can use all these churches of nowadays, that is your business. A stingy person is a stingy person. Okay, Reggie, let's even assume that you say you don't believe in tithe, for example. And for those who say they don't believe in tithing, I am waiting for the day you will ask me for your invoice for the car park and the lights you consume. I'm waiting for the day you will ask me for how much it cost me my time. Pastor, I don't believe in tithing, but that was a brilliant message. How much are you worth so I can pay you what you are worth in your time for teaching me today? Because I don't believe in tithing. I will respect you. And I will tell you that when I was in the marketplace, I was on £600 a day. What I'm doing now is more than £600 a day. So here's the invoice. But you will not do that. Pastor, I don't believe in tithing or giving an offering. But I brought the kids to this church today and somebody looked after this kid while I was sitting down comfortably in an air-conditioned room and taught the word of God. How much is the child-minding fee for the head of the junior church cost? And I will tell you that she's an executive in a bank. The bill I will give you will be more than what you will have ever given God in your entire lifetime. I will tell you how much Bingpay is worth in the marketplace, and I will tell you how much her bank is paying her now. If I give you 5% of what she earns, you will prefer to pay a tithe. So see, it's never about the money. A stingy person is a stingy person. Your spirituality can never be complete unless you are a giver. What the salvation you got by giving, you can't use stinginess to sustain it. For God so loved the world that he withheld and waited for you to clean up your acts before you got saved. Is that what the Bible says? Okay. It says, so for God so loved the world, that he did what? He gave. So what giving delivered into your hands, you can't use withholding to sustain it. In my books, that's the definition of foolishness. You must be a giver. This thing is about giving. The Christmas you are celebrating is about giving. He was born so he can die. Will you offer your children? Exactly. So you can't claim that you are very spiritual, but you are not a giver. It's a fake belief. It's fake. You are just religious. There's no commitment. I said there's no commitment. There is no commitment. It costs you nothing. It costs you nothing. Are you listening? You must be giving is the reason why you can place a demand on heaven for prosperity. Bless me, O God, was my cry, so I can be a blessing. Bless me, O God, so I can give to those who don't have, so you can remember my children. So we can't pray that prayer because we know it is for that promotion is for personal consumption, it's not going anywhere. So the faith can never be released for the next level. A poor person is someone who plans their entire future on what they can see. As a poor person. Poverty has nothing to do with cash. I have seen poor, cash-rich people. Poor. Thousands in the bank. They will be negotiating £5 like the world is going to end. I mean, seriously. I'm telling you. I have seen stingy. Look, my friend, I have seen stingy rich people. God. When they are writing that check, you will think, God, they are going to die. How much do you call it again? It's £5. Stingy. Stingy. Listen very carefully. There's no amount of planning. This is England. There's no amount of planning. It's not designed for you to be wealthy. You need supernatural breakthrough for you to live the lifestyle of your dream. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a proper economy. It's not one of those funny places where you say, I go to bed yesterday night, I wake up this morning, praise God, I'm now rich. I thief. where does that happen? You know where they take that kind of story? Because your uncle, because your cousin's nephew's brother's sister's niece occupies an office somewhere and has access to the national treasury. So you then go to bed one day, wake up, because you don't get a lot, all of a sudden. you know what I mean? You got an alert that you got a contract. A contract that you will never execute. Listen, back, a contract that you never execute. And then they pay you upfront for a job you will never do. Right? And then you come to church and say, praise God, you are a thief. We call it what it is. A thief is a thief. Yeah? So those kind of prosperity, by the time you are dying, by the time you are 70, it still runs out. Does that make sense? But the prosperity of the kingdom of God thrives on giving a heart that gives. A liberal soul. A liberal soul is a man who knows, a woman who knows that he has or she has access to supernatural provision. And because of that understanding, they share. I don't have a full meal, right? But I have only one slice. Can you take? We can share. And then they share joyfully. It never runs out. Joyfully. show me your giving budget. No, forget budget. Show me your giving desire and your giving plans and your giving projection, and I will show you how spiritually deep you are. Tell me. We said, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. I'm sorry. Your canvas is more than the totality of your giving in 1 year. Tell me, how is that giving? Nofa. How much your hairdresser has taken from you in 1 year is more than your contribution to your local church in 5 years put together, and then you say you are a giver. How is that giving, Joe? How? What you have swallowed in family night out in 6 months is more than what you have put in an offering basket for the gospel in the last 7 years. And you are telling me that you are spiritual. And you are telling me that God should answer your prayer. How does that work? That would be fraud. Do you see? If you are going to be a Christian, be a, my friend. That's why some will just be praying prayers and be praying prayers and praying prayers that it is not possible for him to answer. God has to deny himself. Because your principles and values are wrong. So those prayers don't even qualify. God forbid, that what I have spent on myself is more than what I have given to God or the gospel or this church in a year. What kind of life is that? What kind of life is that? That what I have spent on this clay body is more than what I have invested spiritually in a spiritual body like this in a year. God forbid. It's a mindset. God forbid. That Gucci will collect more from me than Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? That BA. Listen very carefully. For years, I had money to fly business class. I chose to sit in economy, not because I cannot afford it, but I will rather put that money in an offering basket and fly 6 hours on economy. And allow that spiritual seed to yield spiritual fruit that my children will feed on for the rest of their lives than feed this clay body that is here today and gone tomorrow. When you get home, my brothers and my sisters, bring out your bank statement and audit your life. I don't have 2 phones. Not because I cannot afford them. I should pay EE. Eternal enemy. We should talk. Somebody help. £47 a month. Times 12. No. 24. Minimum contract. Do you understand? and then be putting £5 per service. In the offering basket. A few years ago, I told the Lord, it was end of year like this. I said, next year. I deserve a raise. Dear Jesus, I said, I deserve a raise. I said, so from next year, in any service, this is me promoting myself, it is £70. In any service. So you will have to promote me in heaven and then give me the wisdom on earth, right? To grow my income to put that thing in the church. That's how I get my raise. My minimum offering is £70. I said me, not family. Me. If you are going to serve God, we measure you by your spirituality is ensured by what comes out of you and not what you consume. What comes out of you is what tells you what you serve. So some save their hair. Some save their stomach. Some save their shoes. Some save their children. When the kid comes out, you look at the kid from head to toe. You can put him on a balance sheet. Eh? Because their winter cap is from House of Fraser. The undergarment is from John Lewis. The shoe is from Nike. Even the two-year-old boy that doesn't go out has a scarf. The one that has never crawled in his life has mitten from Harrods. When the boy comes out, you can almost want to kidnap him. And then, where I come from, we just sell him, I could take the money. And so when I see them, I say, ha! I say, see God walking. Because somebody is worshiping him. He's a God. So what are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? Your bank balance will tell you what you are worshiping. Bring it out when you get home. Income, expenditure. He said, oh, but you see, Pastor, I don't give because it's not enough. No. You don't have what it takes to make it enough because you don't give. That's what it takes. You want to use stinginess to finance your dream? How? God did not use stinginess to finance his dream. He needed to get the whole world saved. So he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. So you want to fund your lifestyle without sacrifice? No. That is not the conversation we should be having in church. No. So as your pastor this Christmas, I want you to set a new thermometer for 2018. You see, I was doing an analogy in the first service, and I was, you come, let's do the analogy again. Because you're the one with the biggest muscles here. Actually, you are not. come, this man is, his own is very, yeah, come. Actually, you are not. Yeah. It's obvious you go to the gym. You double. Is it free, this gym you go to?
I work out in the park.
So, are you a member of any gym?
Yeah.
How much does your gym cost?
£18 a month.
£18 a month. How much is that a year? Okay. Huh? That's a good idea. That's a good idea. 216. Ah.
216.
So he spent £216. Whether he goes or he doesn't go. Standard. £18. Well, that's not even what I'm going to. This body, maybe he wasn't born like this. I wasn't there when he was born. But that one, I knew he didn't come to the church like that. Him, I knew he did not come to Ghetto Chapel like that. In fact, I knew when he started working out, he started feeding the body. And to have a muscle like this, you have to eat certain kind of food, correct? Certain quantity.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, and then go and work it out. Because you can't work out on empty stomach like this. Yeah, yeah. So you need to feed this body to get this body. Anything you feed the body with, the body pays you back. So he fed the body exercise, rigorous one. And he fed the body certain diet. And maybe it's even on vitamins, I don't know. Hopefully not steroids. Yeah.
Natural.
Natural vitamins. Okay. Yeah.
No vitamins.
No, what is it? Natural.
Just for food.
Okay. So he feeds this body certain diet to get this kind of result. But that's the principle of life. What you feed, right, will always feed you back. Right? So, if you feed the body of Christ, the body of Christ, a spiritual body, will feed you back. Thank you. Do you understand? You cannot claim to be part of the body of Christ and feed nothing, but you feign so much ignorance and then believe certain lies of principles that it doesn't matter what I do, even if I don't feed the body of Christ, I will always get blessed. Does that not sound like falsehood to you? What am I saying? Measure your spirituality, because there's a dimension of lifestyle you can never go into if you are one of those people who do not believe in giving. So, Pastor, what class of giving are we talking about? Your tithe, we start with. Your offering. The poor among you. The needy. Being sensitive to the needs of others. Living a giving lifestyle. A giving lifestyle. Giving is not a function of surplus. No. No, it's not. It's a function of the heart. You see, some are so stingy, they won't even give a smile. No, because they are so self-consumed, self-obsessed. The only thing they know is what is happening to them. It's the same spirit. A giver is not a giver. When a non-giver has a problem, his life or her life is consumed by their problem. In fact, the whole world should stop still because I have a problem. That's because you are not a giver. A parasite is a parasite. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the truth of the matter. That's the truth of the matter. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
You must. Where does giving come to play? When you give, it opens your heavens. But you can prove that. So the Bible says, prove me now.
Yeah.
Test this thing out. Make up your mind. I say, Lord, listen very carefully. What am I saying? I'm not saying give what you don't have. No, I don't believe in that either. I don't believe in give what you don't have. I have never done pressure giving in 14 years. I won't do it now. Never. That will never happen. But ask the Lord. This is what I do. If you put it in my hands, I will pass it on. That's my lifestyle. So what does God do? He gives me the wisdom on earth, not in heaven. There's no pound sterling in heaven. To put it in my hand, and I will pass it on. So I'm a channel of blessing. I'm a channel of blessing. I'm a channel of blessing. Make up your mind to be a channel of blessing. I read the story of a gentleman who was on 40 pounds a week, and things were tough for him. But he was very faithful, paying 4 pounds tithe. But he had needs. So he went to his pastor and said, "Pastor, can you please pray for me? I'm believing God for financial breakthrough." So the pastor called him, prayed with him, anointed him, and said, "God will give you increase." So from 40 pounds a week, he got a breakthrough. And before you knew it, he was on 5,000 pounds a month, 60K a year. So 5,000 pounds a month means 500 pounds tithe. After some time, he called the pastor and said, "Pastor, I think I need to see you again." And the pastor got excited that maybe some grace is happening. He said, "Remember that conversation we had the other day when you prayed for me?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Can you please release me from this burden?" He said, "What burden?" He said, "I'm paying 500 pounds a month tithe." The pastor looked at him and said, "Wow, I can't do that because that is spiritually, that is statutory. But I can do something. I can pray that your income drops to the level where you'll be able to afford the tithe of 4 pounds, if you don't mind. Can we do that?" The guy said, "No, I think I'd rather stick to this one." So a stingy person is what? A stingy person. I want to close with Jamie's testimony. Just to portray, where's Jamie? I want her to share her testimony to encourage you. Now, I'm not saying that Gateway Chapel has stingy people. No. This is an apostolic house. So every message I teach you is for you to pass on to your friends. It's for you to learn, pass on to your friends, so we make the body of Christ better. Two, that you don't fall into the lies you hear outside. Does that make sense? Because at the end of the day, when we live here, we go to our respective homes, right? And we take care of our respective children. I have 2 kids. One has graduated without debt. The other one is coming out without debt. I am not going to pay your children's school fees. You will take care of your kids. I take care of mine. I'm not coming to run your household. You take care of your household. I take care of mine. But when we get to the age of 70, when you cannot work anymore, we will come back. I will measure balance sheet. And I will find out how much you have saved from your stinginess over the years and how you will then compound that in interest to take care of you and your children for the rest of your life. You see, folks, stinginess does not pay. A tithe eater doesn't have a future in prosperity. I said that is there. A tithe eater, it doesn't matter how you analyze it theologically, does not have a place in prosperity. Everything you build as a non-tithe payer is a house of cards. I have seen business people start projects and they will build that thing up. Over a period of time, it will crash. They never see it because of a spirit of poverty. Never see it. A non-giver opens him or herself up to go into a vicious circle of spiritual poverty. You will build, it will crash. It will build, it will crash. You will build, it will crash. And you get on that treadmill for years. Don't do that. It's not wise. Be a giver. And it starts from your heart, not from your pocket. He said, "I don't believe in tithe." How many people have you invited to your house to have a meal this year, apart from your family? How many? How many? None. How many have you said, how many people have you called and said, "Well, I'm taking my kids out to a restaurant. Can your kids come so I can feed them? Because I don't believe in tithe." How many? So it's not about money. A stingy person. Call it what it is. You are miserly and parasitic. Not you, but you. Darling, please help me give your testimony. Oh, thank you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't do that. It's not a lifestyle. Please, quickly.
Good afternoon, church. So my testimony is, on Friday, I picked up the keys to my new house. So at the start of the year, I had some things, lots of things that I wanted to do for the whole year. I didn't actually think I'd be able to do all of them. And I started off by wanting to just clear all my debts and things like that. And if that's all I did all year, I would have had a really good year. So God gave me wisdom surrounding that, and I gave a testimony. But as I got towards the end of clearing all of that, I was having a discussion with Opigail and Tayo about the ladies' toilets, and wouldn't it be nice if we could have a new toilet, and et cetera, et cetera. So I decided that before paying off the rest of the things that I had to pay off, that I would dedicate one of the things that I was doing to generate money, all of it, I would dedicate it to the building project specifically for the ladies' toilet. So I was so grateful that I was able to do that, and I did that, and I put that aside. And then the rest of the year was a really good year. I got a new job, I got a promotion. It was a promotion in terms of I went up a level, but I also went down significantly in terms of my earnings because I went from being a contractor to being permanent. But I was still very happy and very grateful. And also I got a new car, but the new car's part of how I got the house as well. So I decided that I really wanted a house, and I was kind of like, oh, I can't really afford a house, maybe I'll just get a flat, things like that. And Oprah Girl was like, no, write down all the things you really, really want in a house. What can you see yourself living in, and how do you want it to be? So I wrote all of those things down, and then Pastor preached a message about thinking big, and that even those things that we don't think we can achieve, we should put those all down. So I remember asking my son, like, what's really, really important to you? And he said he wanted a garden bigger than everybody else's, just because he's competitive. So I said, okay, that's fine. I'll write that down. And I couldn't think, I'm not very good at measurements, I couldn't think how big a garden should be, but 100 sounded like a really good number. So I put down that I want a 100-foot garden. And I weighted down all the things I wrote. I put, you know, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than I can think and ask. And I continued to, I looked for a house, saw a few, didn't really find any. The other thing that was really important for me in a house was it needed no work, because I knew I would have no money to do any work at the end of it. So I wrote that down as well. So I found the house, it needed no work, and it had a 100-foot, exactly 100-foot garden. And I was like, this is my house. So by that time, I had arranged a mortgage, and I was happy, and I went to the bank, and for no reason whatsoever, the bank said, we're not going to give you as much as we wanted to give you before. So I was really kind of disheartened, and I remember calling Tyre, like crying, like, oh, my mortgage is falling through, I have to give back my dream house, you know. And she was like, no, we're not giving back the house. She said, we're going to pray about it every day at a specific time for 1 week, and we're going to just wait, and we're going to see what God will do. And no matter what we see, we're going to say, no, we're not giving back the house. I said, fine. So we prayed for that whole week. On the third day, I got a new mortgage. But the new mortgage meant that instead of a 10% deposit, I now needed a 15% deposit, which for me was basically impossible. It took me 3 years to even get to 10%. Mm-hmm. I had about 6 to 12 weeks to find half of that. You know, I was just like, okay. Ty was like, no, it's going to happen. So that's fine. So I just decided to take on more work. So I'd leave work and go to work. I'd leave church and go to work. More, until I was overwhelmed. I just, within myself, physically, emotionally, I couldn't do any more than what I can do. And at that time, I was £7,000 away from my goal. And at that point in which I was tired, someone crashed into my car while I was having dinner and wrote the car off. So I was like, oh, that's the last thing I need. But when I told everybody, everyone was like jubilating. They're like, oh, thank God, you know, good, the car is gone. And I was just like, these people are just not great. But from that whole thing happening, I managed to get a brand new car. So that's a testimony itself. And I also got to keep the £2,000 from my car. So I was very excited. Then my friend was looking at her payslip, and she said, my payslip is wrong. And I looked at it, and I have this app. And I was like, yeah, your payslip is really wrong. So she said, your payslip is wrong too. And I said, no, my payslip is correct. I have an app for that. You know, it's correct. So she said, let's check our payslips together. So we checked, and lo and behold, my payslip was wrong. And from that, HMRC then gave me back £2,000. So of my seven, I now had four. So it was getting closer to the time. The sellers, because I was in a chain, everybody else somehow had got ready and was ready to go. And they were like, why are you not ready? And I called my solicitor, like, what's going on? And he said, I've been sending you paperwork. I was like, I haven't received any. And this was 6 weeks down the line. So there was a delay, an unexplained delay. He said he'd been sending me paperwork. And he said, oh, I've been sending it to your address in Peckham. I don't live in Peckham, I live in Erith. And he just couldn't explain why he had been sending the letters to Peckham. I was very angry with him, sent him a very angry email about it. But I think it was either the day after or a few days after that happened, I was going away on holiday, and I think Taya had messaged me, like, did you forget your passport? Have you got your passport? And I messaged back with, oh my God. And she was like, oh, you've gotten your passport. I said, no. Have you seen what's happened on the news? And she said, no. She said, well, the Chancellor has brought out his new budget, and in the new budget, stamp duty for first-time buyers buying under a certain price has been wiped out. So I was like, I don't have to pay stamp duty. But I didn't know, I couldn't remember how much it was. So I called my dad, who was at home, to go through my paperwork. And he said, your stamp duty is £3,000. So I was like, I was adding it up. I was like, two from the car, two from this, four, seven. And I was like, I made it. So, yeah. So I'm just really excited. Yeah.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Now, how do you plan to use stinginess to fund that supernatural intervention? The crashing of the car, the delay to the point that the chain did not break, the sudden change of stamp duty just when she needed it. How do you plan to do that? She has the app, but there was £2,000 sitting in her app. But it took her helping a friend, giving, to receive £2,000. If she didn't seek to help a friend, she would never have realized that she had £2,000 in her app. Yeah. So how exactly do you plan to fund your future? With a non-tithe paying, non-sharing lifestyle, stingy and parasitic. How? Rise to your feet and let us pray. I want you to pray a simple prayer and ask God to give you a heart to give and to make you a kingdom philanthropist. Giving is a profession. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We bless your holy name. Thank you, because a word is enough for the wise, but never enough for the stone-hearted. But I ask, Father, because according to your word, you have given us a heart of flesh and not of stone. Father, we thank you that you open our hearts, our ears, our eyes to all that you have planned in stock for us in terms of the help you have called us to give this world, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.